Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Young people from all across Ireland will gather in County Clare. It's happening this Friday, and it's to attend the Young People in Alcoholics Anonymous convention. They're there to talk about their experience with alcohol, with drink and with sobriety as well, and even just to talk about the drinking culture in Ireland. But we want to ask today, do we talk about young people and alcoholism enough in this country? The email's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com if you want to share your own experience. Sophie, though, was with me in studio this afternoon, first of all. Sophie, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Good, yeah, thanks for coming in to us. You're attending the conference on Friday. Tell us a little bit about your experience, Sophie.
I got sober almost 10 years ago, so I was 23 when I came in, and it was very, very challenging because I didn't know anything about alcoholism. I didn't really know what it was to be alcoholic. I just knew that I had an issue with alcohol, that for some reason, and it used to never really be that way. It was just over, it became progressively worse as the years kind of went on from when I first started drinking.
Tell us a little bit, Sophie, about you. Like, when you think back to yourself as a 23-year-old, if I met you then as I am here now, what were you like then?
Oh, I was a shell of a person. I found it very difficult getting sober at 23. You know, I thought, how could I be an alcoholic? I'm 23, you know?
Yeah.
And it was tough. It was tough because a lot of my friends drank, you know, and I thought, how am I supposed to have a life without alcohol? You know, it really, I couldn't see it at the time, but it had taken over my life completely, to the point where, you know, I had dropped out of college. I couldn't work. I was on the dole. It was just a miserable existence, you know, and I never really saw how much it had a hold on my life, you know.
So you were studying at the time.
I was, yeah.
Yeah.
But like, again, it's kind of when I started to look at my drinking, and it took me like maybe a year and a half of being in AA to find acceptance, you know, because I kind of battled with the idea of never being able to drink alcohol ever again, you know, like, because that's the reality of conceding, you know. I had to kind of understand what it is to be an alcoholic, that it wasn't so much my circumstances. It was a lot to do with my relationship with alcohol, you know, like what effect it has on me when I take a drink, you know. And I saw that I would lose control. That's it. Simple. You know, every time I took a drink, I would just not be able to control the amount, you know, and that was one big element of it. It's this physical component, you know, and then it's coupled with this mental part where, you know, after a period of time, and I would try these experiments. I didn't know I was doing experiments, though,
okay.
You know. Where I would try not drink for a period of time and think, oh, I can control it now. And then I'd start drinking again, and then the same cycle would happen, and it would get worse and worse and worse, you know. Or I would try like varying my drinks, like, oh, it was vodka, so I'll switch to wine, or I'll drink like a lady. So I used to go out with girls who would just like be able to have two drinks and be watching them at the same time and drinking it at the same time, trying to figure out like what's the solution here.
Yeah.
You know, and I could never win, you know,
because you're like, as you said there, you know, you're in college, you're with your friends, you're 23 years of age, obviously socializing and going out is a big part of that.
Yeah.
For you, it wasn't as much about how much you were drinking or how frequently it's, which probably was in line, I'm sure, with, you know, maybe of your other friends at the time. It's the effect it had on you.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I mean, when you look back on your, like my, like I had to look back on my own drinking history. Like, why is it we all, like I started drinking, I loved the effect alcohol had on me, you know, and it really is that simple. It's not to do with my anxiety or fear or anything like that. It was like, I loved what it did for me. And like, of course, I'm going to keep drinking more and more of it because I love the effect, you know.
Day to day life, like when, at what point did you realise there is an issue here and I need to do something about this. I need to get help.
Well, it was more like a family pointed it out first. And I struggled with that because I couldn't see I had a problem, you know. And delusion is a big problem with alcoholism, you know. Like, it's not denial, you know, because I can deny other things, but to deny is to see, to understand there's some truth there, you know, but delusion, I can't see I have a problem. You know, it's like seeing this microphone is here. Mm. I could say it's not here and put me up to a lie detector and I'll pass. You know, like I can't see I have a problem. And that's the frightening thing about alcoholism, you know. And it wasn't until I really had to kind of put aside everything I thought I knew about what recovery was, everything, and go through the 12 steps, you know, and see what step one is really about, which is understanding what it is to be alcoholic. And do I have this, you know, these two elements where this physical component, you know, that every time I take a drink, I lose control, or when I want to stay stopped, I can't, you know. And if I have those two elements, then I'm probably alcoholic, and the only solution that I've been able to go through is the 12 steps.
Okay. How did you find that?
Conceding was very, very, it was like a grief, to be honest. I had a playlist of like songs that related to alcohol, and I would like listen to it and just cry and cry because I knew it was like a breakup, you know. It was my first love. It was my solution to everything. It was how I functioned in life, you know. And now it's being removed from me, and like the whole like purpose of going through the 12 steps is to have a way of living, you know, and that's what it gave me, you know. But it was an amazing process to be able to kind of find that freedom, because when I got sober and I was struggling with this acceptance, I found it so hard to live in the world. I really did. I was experiencing so much depression. I couldn't really socialise. I was having panic attacks. I couldn't work. I couldn't do anything, you know.
At what point, sorry, did you come, when you after, or at what point did you finish the 12 step, the programme, the recovery programme?
Well, you're never really finished. You know, there's the maintenance steps.
Yeah,
10,
sorry,
11,
I mean,
12,
when you, because you went into in summer, didn't you, to
I
a
had
treatment.
Gone into a treatment centre, yeah, and like, to be honest, I still battled with my acceptance around that, but that's where I was introduced to AA and then I would attend meetings there.
And when that, I suppose, first phase of that finished, you were what age?
I was 23.
Yeah, like you're so, you know, so young and that, I'm sure.
Terrifying. It was a terrifying experience, because now it's like, now I have to cope with the world and I don't have the tools. I don't know how to do it, you know. And that's finally, eventually, I kind of came around to doing what was outlined in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I've been able to live free, you know, which is unbelievable. Like, I couldn't go into bars. I couldn't go out with friends. I couldn't go into supermarkets. Like, I was tormented. And that's no way to live at 23, 24, you know. And once I kind of went through that process, I experienced an unbelievable freedom, you know. I think I was about maybe 2 years and I decided to go travel the States on my own. And all I carried was my big book with me, and I was on Greyhound buses going around exploring the world. I remember having an experience going, I could get away with it, and but not wanting to. And I knew then that I was free, you know, and that's why I continued to do what I do, you know, and to inform people about what it is to be alcoholic and guide them through the process and watch them come to life again, you know.
When you mentioned in the early stages and being in college, what was the impact on your, it was family and friendships? Because you're at that stage, you know, in your early 20s in your life where your friends are the most important thing in the world nearly, you know. So
yeah, but like I was losing friends. That's the reality, you know. I kind of, meaningful relationships were being pushed aside because if they challenged me on my drinking, they were gone. You know, relationships, boyfriends, everything, you're gone if you challenge me, you know. It was more important to me to have the bottle than it was my relationships. Yeah. And I couldn't see it, you know. Mad.
You're 10 years on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
How do you feel?
Grateful.
Yeah.
Very grateful. I mean, I didn't think I'd live, to be honest. I thought I'd be dead by 25. Like it was very morbid, you know. So I am every day. I'm just so grateful to be alive. And it's a privilege, really, you know. And I was able to go back to school and I was able to study and
How's
get my
that
degree.
Going?
Well, I got my degree in October.
Congratulations.
So, yeah, it was.
Brilliant.
And now I'm entering into a dream job that I never thought I'd be doing. So yeah, it's been unbelievable, you know.
You have a really positive attitude, Sophie. Yeah, you know, you've really, really positive in chatting to you here today. I've Sean with us on the line. You have the headphones on. Sean, you've been listening to Sophie there. Tell us a little bit about your experience.
Yeah, hi.
How are you?
So I was pretty early coming in as well. I was in my 20s when I came in. And similar was, basically my life was unmanageable, chaotic, wasn't able to hold down. I suppose I was jumping from college to college and group of friends, and just wasn't living a normal life, I suppose. And then I ended up, two friends of mine, my friend group, you know, it was a big friend group, but two particular friends of mine actually went into treatment before me. And, one of them went back playing football and was back, because by that stage I wasn't playing any sport, I wasn't hanging around my friend group, but he was sort of like doing all that again, and he looked happy, and it was very attractive to me, like, to, to just maybe give up the drink, I suppose.
So you went and got, was there treatment involved, Sean, in giving that up?
Yeah, well, I went into, what happened was, he, by that stage he was in AA, both friends were in AA, so I went to meetings. And, obviously, like, treatment, sometimes people go to treatment for 28 days to get them off drinking drugs. But as you can imagine, like, for a lifetime of a person who is drinking for a good few years, you're not going to change your behavior in 28 days. Mm. So really what's needed, and what my friends did and what was very attractive to me, was they start going to meetings regularly every week. And I suppose that's the key part, at least in my recovery now, I'm 16 years sober, is the consistency and discipline, which I've never had in my life, just going to regular meetings. And, from those regular meetings, you fellowship and, it's sort of a program for living.
Yeah. The support service, I suppose, as Sophie says, you're never quite finished. Like, it's always there, Sean.
Yeah, it's always there. But it's not a chore either. It's, I had no clue what AA was or even treatments. It wasn't in my family or friends that they'd gone into treatment or gone off. I mean, those particular two friends did. But, then when I started going to meetings, and if you just think about it, you're going to the same place every week, maybe two, three times a week, with people your own age and older people, and everyone's so helpful. And we've all been through the same experience. It's like, they compare it to being in Titanic, the people that were rescued from there. We all feel we've just got out of something together. And there's this fellowship that grows up among us. And as you can imagine, I've been going to meetings for 16 years, the same group of friends, pretty much. We really get to know each other and support one another. So it's a beautiful way of living, to be honest.
As Sophie mentioned, a little earlier, Sean, were you accepting of the fact that there was an issue? Like, was it something that you accepted?
Yeah, it's very obvious. My drinking was very obvious from the get-go. It wasn't like, two, 3 points and go home. And it wasn't like one night. It was like, I'd go out and I might go home till 2 days later. And it was just different. That normal, like, I used to compare myself to my friends. Everyone, I'm not anti-drink at all. My brothers can go out and have a few drinks and, go back to their normal living the next day. It wasn't like that for me. I seen it pretty early. And, and as I said to you, I seen it particularly in those two friends that went into recovery before me. I used to identify with them because we used to be hanging out. So, you go out with your regular friends, but it used to always be the three of us ending up together afterwards. So, yeah, we all saw the difference between us and regular drinkers.
Are there specific meetups, meetups for younger people, Sean, or is it just the one?
I know, it's just the one. It's like, in Ireland, it's great. Like, people of all, my experience of my first meeting was I walked in the door and there was people of all ages, all backgrounds, and the welcome I got. And you need that. Like, you need that. But there's, also, like, they're very supportive, all these older people. At that time, I used to look up to them as older people, but they're all very supportive. But I loved, as well, within AA, people, especially now, you have a lot of people in their 20s, in AA and recovering, and it's lovely. Like, so you fall into, you've got support of the people who've been through it maybe around a few years, and then you've got your friend group within that, and you'd be going for coffee. It's like very sociable, actually. Was my experience of it, where, as you can imagine, just doing regular things except without to drink.
Yeah, the reason we're chatting obviously today, as I mentioned, is because the All-Ireland Young People in Alcoholics Anonymous convention is happening in Clare on Friday. I would say people, even myself earlier this morning and on Friday, when I thought about this, Sophie, I kind of thought to myself, like, how many young people would say they're an alcoholic or would have gone through treatment? But it's obviously a much higher figure than we think when there's a convention like this actually happening.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think the number is very high. But I mean, that's why we have things like this.
Yeah, that's the reason for it. Yeah. Do we talk about it enough, Sean? Young, like, the we know, as alcoholism, I suppose, and young people.
Yeah, I suppose like I'm so in that circle. I suppose we're talking about here today, and in schools, I know they're very much, and clubs, clubs I've been involved in, there's very much talk about it. But you know, it's only relevant then to certain small segments of society. Like, and you can't really know, what the solution is, I suppose, until you come across it with a person. But AA is anonymous. Like, we're on here today, and obviously these aren't our real names. We're just talking about AA and represent. We keep the fellowship is out there, and we're trying to as well as promote that there's meetings on in every town in Ireland. They're on a couple of times a week. You can check online, and if you're worried about any of your family, what we always say is just send your family member along or yourself, and just come to meeting and give it and see what you think. You get a great welcome, and if they're in every, it's here like 7 days a week, and probably millions of people throughout the world are recovering through AA.
Just when you mentioned that, there's an interesting text in here, Sean, from a listener who just makes the point. I wonder, is a time that Alcoholics Anonymous wasn't anonymous, would it in any way help to break the stigma if it wasn't? Do you have a view on that, Sean?
I don't really have it's just there. It's got its own, AA does its own things. There's lots of other options as well, it's working, and it's non-professional, and it's gone on since the 1930s, so it's very, very successful.
Yeah. Listener here has got in touch as well. Listening to Sophie talking, it has really just struck a chord. I've struggled with drink all my life, but I never actually saw it as such a problem. I don't drink every day or anything, but I do struggle to stop on a night out, says this listener. Another texter as well. Sophie, my daughter is currently in the process of getting sober. I'm just wondering if Sophie has any advice for her. She's 25 and she does have a problem.
Has she attended AA meetings, I wonder?
She doesn't say, but she does say she's in the process of trying to get sober.
I would always suggest it's just start looking at your drinking history and really taking those two questions. Do you lose control? And when you try to stop, can you stay stopped? And if not, then you definitely have a problem. And that's where AA is here to help,
Another listener says, I've a sister with a very similar story. She won't seek help or accept the situation that they're in. They try to self-help and fail over and over. She's embarrassed to seek any kind of help or support and to be open about it. So how does a person support and approach another person who won't accept that there's an issue? She's older, won't accept the damage it does to her. She also thinks that AA is quite religious as well. So this is obviously the sister or friend,
Well, I always think this is all great experience, seeing what doesn't work. You have to almost go through every avenue to see what doesn't work for you. And I would have done the same, and lots of counselling and all that sort of stuff to see that doesn't work for me. It's definitely a good add-on, but there's the approach of AA, and I suppose AA isn't a religious organisation at all. It's we have a whole chapter dedicated to, being agnostic and really it's about finding your own higher power, whatever that may be. And it's not shoved down your throat,
Okay.
It's your own conception, really.
Listen, thank you both very much for joining us today and sharing your stories and your experience with us. That's Sean and also Sophie there. Jimmy has got in touch to say, I gave up drinking at the age of 37 after drinking actually quite heavily for all of my youth. Another listener gave it up 7 years ago. It was the best thing I ever did. This texter says, I'm so happy for Sophie to have found Alcoholics Anonymous at such a young age. She's an amazing life ahead of her. And that comes in from a listener in Westport who says they're also a fellow AA member.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.